History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Liverpool's Royal Birkdale Golf Club hosts the 154th Open Championship this week.
With a score of 283, the winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year is Padraig Harrington.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague. Open Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hopefully your mornings are off to a great start, heading you off into your weekend. Got some fun things going on. You just alerted me to that we have a theater locally that can show the Odyssey the way that it's supposed to be shown.
Correctamundo. Let me make sure they're playing it.
How would you not? If you have one of those theaters, why would you not do that?
Yeah.
That's been pretty wild to read about. Like, I don't do much new movie news because I just don't see a lot of movies in theaters with a little guy at home.
Yeah.
But that's one that, like, Nolan movies are always great. The idea of filming an entire movie, like, seeing some of the, like, 60-minute pieces and stuff that they've done on it. The way they have to process the film, yeah, and how the running of the camera, there was a humming sound. The cameras were so big, they had to kind of muffle that out. There's only like 70 theaters in the world that can show the movie the way that it was filmed to be shown, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Because if you go see it in a normal movie theater, you're going to get that kind of cut off picture and it won't be exactly what they shot. So you can still go see it in theaters. But if we have one of those here, man, I got a kid-free weekend next weekend. I might try and go see it.
I will tell you right now, if you're going to do it, go and buy the ticket now. They are selling out.
That quickly?
Like, I'm probably going to buy next Friday's.
Okay, I got to work with the wife. I got to figure out. But we got a kid-free. It's the anniversary. We got a...
Oh, tough thing about next Friday. I might be going crabbing Saturday.
Oh, Odyssey and crabbing in the same weekend?
Dude.
A little Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if I'll have enough time.
That was like the weekend I Barbenheimered.
You did Barbenheimer.
Great weekend.
I'm bummed I missed the Barbenheimer.
It, man.
I know.
Sometimes you just gotta say, is this movie for me? No. Is the experience? Yes.
I've still never seen Barbie.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Good movie.
I got no beef.
Some people gonna be very bothered by the themes of the movie.
How dare you.
But overall, good experience in theater to go to Oppenheimer and then go straight into Barbie.
Well, people are now yelling on the YouTube chat about whether or not we're going to miss Jeremy Grant, if you're wondering where we're at in the offseason of Blazer fandom.
Not good.
I think there's elements of it. Yeah, we won't miss the contract. If his contract was different, we wouldn't have been so get out of here in nature. Right?
I also
that was
think,
the only thing that changed it for him.
No doubt. There's also, like, what is Jeremy Grant at this point? He's 32, I believe, going on 33. Last year, he had a much better year than he did the year before. 2 years ago, he was awful. He shot terrible. He only averaged 14 a game.
Mm-hmm.
He was banged up. He only played in 47 games. Like, that was a very bad year for him.
Well, they also shut him down. They've
sure,
shut him down
because
largely
they were tanking
the whole time he was here.
Last year, the numbers went up a little bit. He played, but he's still only 57 games last year. And so he's not been a very reliable guy to even be in the lineup. So that's the other part of the component of what Jeremy Grant are you going to get.
Yeah.
Because he was a little bit better this past year than he was the year before. It is interesting, man. Like,
I think he's going to be very good for Memphis, by the way.
Oh, is he?
I think Memphis is one of those, like, they're not record-wise going to be amazing.
Okay.
But I think, I just really like the young talent they have, and I think when you add a vet like Jeremy to a team like that, who they may move at the deadline.
Hopefully he's too good for them and keeps them from tanking the way that they want to tank.
I just think he's a good dude to add to your locker room, and then now you got Cam Boozer. Coward and Boozer combined last night, I think, for like 49 points in their summer league game. I just think you got some Edie's coming back now from his injury. I just think they got some fun little stuff in Memphis.
Yeah, it's interesting because, who the hell knows, right, how this is all going to play out. It's funny how we can all look at a similar thing and have different perspectives on it. And I by no means look at the Blazers next year as taking some massive step or being a competitive team in the Western Conference because of the weaknesses of the roster that you guys have both laid out that I agree with you have five guards. It's ridiculous to have five guards. They should trade one of them. I digress. I also don't, I guess, look at the situation and think that it's detrimental to being at least competitive to where they were last year. Like, I have been one of the people who's banged the drum the hardest on their record was a little overinflated last year. They played a lot of tanking teams in the back half of the season. We've gone through the numbers time and time again. Like, the number of playoff teams they beat with players available was essentially non-existent in the second half of the season. The overwhelming majority of their wins came against teams who were actively trying to lose. That's the unique thing about it. And we do this in college football, right? Like, we just went through this with Oregon State, and we'll do it with Oregon, of like, that looks like an easy game. They're going to be a tough matchup. They're going to, you might like Memphis next year, and you might end up being right. Maybe they win 22 games next year, and they get killed, and they shut their guys down at the end of the season, and you play them three times in the last month, right? So it's hard to get a gauge on it, because Sacramento, I think, is going to suck. Not I think, I know. Memphis, they might be feisty, but they're not going to be a good basketball team. The Clippers, if the Kawhi stuff goes through, are maybe getting hammered by the NBA and moving off their best player.
I don't know what to make of that whole situation, especially with the new report that they're investigating another
second circumvention
with Cap.
So maybe he's back, maybe he's not. Either way, the Clippers even last year, like, that's not a big threat. New Orleans is a dumpster. We know they're a dumpster.
I won't trust New Orleans.
Right? And we can look at Utah and Dallas and say Utah and Dallas are going to take a step. And I agree with the sentiment, but we don't know, right? And their over-under is 34.5, so Vegas is projecting they're below 500 teams. I don't think Phoenix is unbeatable. Golden State's the Expendables roster of would have been great 15 years ago. Like, they're going to lose out on LeBron. You got Jimmy Butler coming back off an injury. Steph is still solid. Draymond can't play basketball anymore, so they don't scare me at all. So that's the other part of this, of like, I see every criticism of the roster. I've made every criticism of the roster. I also don't know if I'm at the point of expecting something in the 30s, and I don't think 44 is outrageous, because everything that you have traded for defensively, which every pro Blazer person a year ago was saying, what about their success? They're going to be great because of their defense.
Their defense is
defense. Yeah. And what did their defense end up being? Not very good.
And middle of the road.
Right? And what ended up costing them in a lot of games last year? Not having anybody outside of Denny Avdia who can get you a bucket.
Yep.
And so now you add Dame to the mix. Ja Morant can go create his own shot. I don't know what level of player you're going to get in either of those guys, but I do know they will provide more offensive firepower for you than what you were dealing with and having to rely on Caleb Love. So I find myself somewhere in the middle.
Like, but how much are they set back defensively? Because what people would point
totally to fair, but does it balance out with a plus on the offensive side of having shot creators? Now, the three-point shooting is still going to be a massive concern, and I don't disagree with that. They were also like 29th in the league in shooting last year, and they won 42 games.
Yeah, but they won 42 games off of the backs of what you pointed to.
No doubt.
A lot of teams tanking.
Yes. What is that going to look like in the second half of this year?
I don't think it's going to be
an unanswerable question.
I think the commissioner basically said as much with the rule change. Don't do that again. You can be bad. Kings probably going to be bad. Pelicans probably bad. Nets awful. I don't think you're going to see teams actively tanking the way that, who was it? Was it Utah? Somebody had a lead late. I think it was the Kings or Utah, and they were actively fouling.
It was Utah.
Fouling.
Oh, they got fined like $500,000.
Yeah, I don't know what the class looks like next year. That kind of stuff will not happen. My point is simply, I look at the NBA as the idea of, if you play hard and try more often than not, it's good for a percentage of wins.
It is.
Because there's a lot of bad teams in the league.
A certain number of West teams face you, right? Like, I don't know how the chemistry will work. Could work really well. Ja could come off the bench and be a lightning rod. Sure. I also just know, like, I agree they needed offense. I'm not mad at the Ja trade.
Mm-hmm.
I just expected the one more move.
Oh, I absolutely did too.
And them sitting with this is fine to say our offense is better. Okay, you sold me on that. Here's an easy press conference follow-up. Last year, your entire identity as an organization, you told us it was defense.
Yes.
There is not a single metric you're going to point to with your roster now that says you should be better defensively. So you've pivoted your identity based on what your playoff outcome was. And then also, like, aside from like a press conference question, how much worse are they going to be defensively? Tumani, all NBA guy, two seasons ago.
Yeah.
Not last year.
No, still a good defender.
Donovan Klingon, still not an all NBA defensive guy. And in certain matchups, an absolute disaster. See the Jared Allen game. So, and if your shooting's only going to be so improved because of the game, I'm not trying to sound too pessimistic. I'm just trying to be realistic.
Oh, I get it.
You can't tell me what their identity and culture is, and then we all watch them flip that in a way and somehow still be in all in as if it's going to be even better. might be in some ways. There's also a lot of question marks, man, when you talk about the real meat and potatoes of the Western Conference.
I think the way that I look, because I agree with everything you're saying, and we've been in lockstep on when they made the move for Ja Morant, unanimously the opinion from everybody was there's more to come.
Well, at first people were like, oh, where are we flipping him? And I'm like, they're not flipping him.
At first there was a shock. Then there was, well, we must be trading him something. And then once you realize it's actually happening, it's, well, guys, they're not done yet. Calm down. They're not done yet.
I was told they're not done yet three different times. I don't hear that right now.
They're done.
Because I don't think anybody knows.
Well, no, they don't. But
I don't
also
mean that as a shot. I don't think anybody covering the team knows.
They also had no clue we were getting Ja Morant. So to your point, it's just they move in silence a lot. And so that was the sentiment, and all those criticisms are fair. I guess I just still look at the NBA, and maybe you end up being right about the whole floor being lifted of the entire league. Mm-hmm. And I'm not – the tanking will not be as egregious as it was last year. I'm more of in a difficult spot. If you see 43.5, is that an easy under bet for you?
I don't know about easy.
Because Swag claimed easy last segment.
Yeah,
that's more of my stance of like, that's not easy for me.
I think they're
me.
Pressing
like,
up on that spot.
That is the exact number, if you've asked me in Vegas, of like, what's a good over-under that kind of makes you think? I might have gone 41 or 42.5. But that's right in that sweet spot that I would have looked at for Vegas of like, ooh, that's I could see that going either way. I'm a lean under probably, slight lean under, not an easy under by any stretch of the
imagination. A slight lean tells me you think they're a 42 to 43 win team.
I think they're exactly the same.
You're right at that half point.
I think they're a little bit better offensively. They're a little worse defensively. Mm-hmm. The league is a little bit better, but they have better late game execution because of having Damian Lillard on your roster. So like, I just, all of this stuff to me is going to balance out.
Sure.
And that's why we talked about this the other day. I think you're the same team almost next year. You're a 7 seed. You get bounced in 5 games in the first round. And we're left saying, why didn't you make a big move in the offseason?
So let me ask you this then. What's the closing lineup? Like, I'm not trying to get way ahead, but you're making me think about some of this stuff when you're
talking about
winning.
Am I winning or am I losing?
You're in a tight ball game. What is your final five, you think, from that team?
I think your final five will be Dame, Drew, Tamani, Denny, and Donovan.
Okay.
Smaller lineups, you could go Robert Williams. By 10, you could throw Ja Morant in there for offense.
Against the Nuggets, Timberwolves, Rockets, Lakers,
contending
Thunder,
teams.
And Spurs. Your top 6 teams that you would say maybe are ahead of you.
I think that's your closing lineup.
What is your
lineup?
Closing lineup? That's your closing?
And then either, probably Drew and Ja are interchangeable for them, I would imagine.
Well, see, here's the thing. If you're going to go Dame and Ja, they are going to roast you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't go Ja, we're all just going to sit here and say Ja Morant's just so changed and fundamentally different that he's not talking to somebody on the side?
I think Mike Anori's going to have a revolving door if it's a close game.
You don't think we have a concrete five?
No, I think he's got an offensive group, a defensive group. I think
Did
he's
we
gonna
have
one
last year to close
ton.
Games every game?
Well, the injury thing made that
without a doubt
incredibly difficult.
When healthy, though, like at the end
Love
of the year.
And
yeah, I mean, sure. I get that. But that's the tough part is I think they are interchangeable in that regard of you can have different stuff. You're not wrong. They're going to get – Ja and Dame are going to get roasted defensively. It's going to be really bad. But is there a balance there of offense? Is there a balance there of Ja's can give you 22 a game and Dame's shooting 38% from three? It doesn't break even. Well. And that's the difficult part that I have with it because I don't disagree with
Dame. Dame has
other.
Certainly been training as of a guy who's coming off of screens and catching and shooting.
Every video I've seen of him is an off-ball drill in the offseason.
Because I think he even knows, I'm not going to be able to dribble the ball the way I once did.
Yes, because you have Denny and you have Ja.
Denny and Ja has the ball.
Yes, that's just the way it's got to work. Some good stuff, by the way. Heiken had some stuff on, he talked to Mike Anori. I think he was when he was down at Vegas, he got an answer on him. Out of him about Scoot and some other stuff. I've seen some other interviews with Mike Anori. He's a very interesting cat. Here is one, by the way. I saw this one. So a lot of the contract stuff has been brought up with him. We didn't play this the other day, but it's been in our notes. Here is him talking about the idea of signing that one-year deal and Tom Dunnan and working with him. This is on SiriusXM the other day.
Well, I think the way that he's been portrayed, number one, the thing that I look at is in my individual situation is all I can look at is what you guys are talking about. After 28 years, he's the first guy that's given me an opportunity to be a head coach, number one, which I'm thankful for. I do know that, people make a bigger deal of the contract, which is beyond me and behind me, matter of factly, but I do know that he's had one coach with the Carolina Hurricanes. They just raised a cup. I do know that when you look at the payroll for the Hurricanes, he spends to get them as much talent as they need to. And everything that I've been a part of in Portland, he's done nothing but been helpful to me and supportive from everything that what we're trying to do staff-wise out here, and just everything has been a yes. As long as you can explain the why, which I have no problem with, and as far as to work with him on the X's and O's and basketball side, he has questions. He just wants to know why, and when you can, you know, what are we going to, what's the number? We're holding these guys to the accountable to it, and we just make sure that we do that.
I mean, what else is he going to say, right? He's not going to come out and say, this guy's been terrible. Please
my boss
fire
sucks.
Me.
Like, help me.
Nobody ever gives their honest
I was forced to sign
that.
By my wife. I regret it.
They did the DeAndre Jordan. They locked me in my house until I signed the contract. So what else are you going to get? But still interesting nonetheless. Yeah. And he had some good stuff with Eichen, I thought, from the Scoot angle of these guys are still going to be around. Right. And they're going to be now the fourth and fifth fiddle from a guard standpoint, because Dame, Ja, and Drew are all ahead of them on the depth chart. And from a playing time standpoint, now again, maybe that's the remaining move is one or two of those guys, and Scoot and Shaden are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Of just like, that's the biggest surprise to me in the offseason. The fact that Shaden Sharpe's still on the roster right now I would have told you would not happen at the end of the season. It just seemed like that was coming to an end. Scoot, you could probably sell it because he's got one more year on his rookie deal. He had that moment in the playoff game, although scored zero in the next game. So there was a balance back and forth, but he had some moments at the end of the year of just how do you get more and can you get anything more out of those two young guys? Because I think we know there's not this idea that the ceiling's going to turn into an MVP type of player, a top five, you know, guy in the league, but can they be legitimate role guys? Can they evolve their game? Hey, we need three-point shooting this year, right? Who had moments as a streaky three-point shooter? Scoot Henderson. Can he turn that into a more reliable part of his game as an off-ball player in your offense? It was an interesting read from Eichen talking to the head coach.
Well, so here's one more thing on this. We know what Scoot is. Scoot is a combo guard.
Yes.
Who will not be running the offense, and that's what his identity as a Blazer's going to be, and I don't know how long-term that is.
Yeah. They want him off the ball, and can he become a better defender? Can he be feisty? He's super athletic on that end of the floor.
It's interesting because I think we're getting to the thing that's not even the biggest talking point of the Blazers, right? Like these terms of agreement have been released by the city and handed over to Portland, and we got to wait on that. Shaden is very interesting to me in this sense. I assumed he was gone like everybody else. Here he is. Mike Anori is coming from a situation with a 6'6 guard that everybody thought was going to be really stinking good, and has maturity issues and is not produced in the way that they thought he would. Terrence Shannon Jr. was a player coming out of college for the Minnesota Timberwolves that I and a lot of other people were like, that's a good pickup. Averaged 12 minutes a game last year, 5.6 points per game. That is well below what Shaden was averaging in minutes and points, but a very similar situation of, hey, dude, you're not ready. You need to understand things. And clearly at the end, more so than it has been the last few years, the organization and the coaching staff in place were telling Shaden what? Hey, dude, you got maturity issues and you're not ready.
We need you to care.
Actively chose to not play him in the playoffs when we needed an athletic guy who could score the basketball.
They played Matisse Thybulle
so
over him.
I just wonder what he learned in the Terrence Shannon Jr. business in Minnesota and how he can change or apply that to a guy like Shaden Sharpe, because he just went through it the last 2 years with Chris Finch in Minnesota.
Yeah.
He's coming into one more highly productive, but very similar in reasoning of minutes dropping off, inconsistency play, maybe understanding certain nuances of what they're doing. He's going to have to tap into that the way that he tried to tap into that with Terrence Shannon.
That's a good comp to have, and we'll see how it goes the rest of the offseason. The poll question is up. The early over-under on the Blazers, 43.5 in Vegas. Are you taking the over or the under? You can go vote at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. The FIFA World Cup final is on Sunday.
Yeah, it is.
Sunday. Where is our excitement level? Full pitch? Half pitch? Little tent. Haven't put the tent up yet. And why do we do this? We'll talk about that next on The Fam.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Every once in a while, one slips in there still. You know, it happens. It happens to the best of us. Open Championship is second day is wrapping up slowly but surely. We'll give you a leaderboard update here in the final segment. We almost had history right out of the gate of the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Lucas Herbert could not make a par putt on 18 for the lowest major championship round of all time. And he ended up tying the all-time record, but he is still your leader. We'll give you an update here in a moment. We'll answer the poll questions as well. One other quick note out of the sports world before I ask you two footy bros about your footy thoughts this weekend.
Yeah.
History was just made in college football for the first time ever. in the history of their program. Indiana has signed a 5-star recruit. They have signed, he just committed on the Pat McAfee show. I guess his name is Manshun Sales.
Okay.
Hell of a name.
Okay.
He is, according to Rivals, the number one wide receiver in the country. He's not just a 5-star. He's a 5-star plus. And he just committed to Indiana.
They call things five-star pluses?
They've added 5-star pluses. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Why don't we just add a 6-star, you might be asking? I don't know. Anyways, he just committed to Indiana. It's the first time in the history of the program they've ever signed a 5-star recruit.
Yeah, okay. The guy just won a title, is now going to start collecting even more Jimmys and Joes.
8-4 yeah. this year. Google me. The footy championship is on Sunday.
It is.
Before we get to the footy championship,
yeah,
can we ask about the third place footy game? And is it something that you're interested in?
What time does it start?
I have no idea.
I think noon. Hang on.
No, the final's at noon.
I think they're both.
Well, they
at
play
noon.
One Saturday, one Sunday.
Oh,
they're
touche.
Both days of the weekend, touche. So they don't play on the same day.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Are we going to watch England versus France third place game? Be honest.
There's a good chance no, because I'll be out in Hood Canal on a boat. So
I don't know how much I really.
This is my point. Like, I get
it's a great match on paper, though. I thought that was going to be.
Does
our
everybody
final.
Play or do we load manage?
No, I think they actively.
Do they care about being third
yes.
place?
You want to be top three of the world?
I think
you
so.
Want to be top three?
Yes.
Okay.
I think England will be more interested than France.
Their heartbreaking nature
wild,
of their loss.
Why are you saying?
Why?
Why are you saying that?
France got their ass whooped in their semifinal.
You think France
game.
Is happy coming off of that?
I'd say they're going to be more angry.
You ever had humble pie?
Right. England had their hearts ripped out in the 93rd minute. They thought they're visioning themselves holding the trophy on Sunday.
Why did you have that opinion? You got evidence? You got a quote?
I think France was in it to win it, and now that they can't win it, they're
they're not in
whatever.
It to win it anymore.
No, we can't win it anymore.
Well, I'll say this.
I find it very nice. I forget that we have a third-place game every year, and I know we do this in some Olympic sports, but who cares?
In some Olympic sports, we have third place for...
All of them.
All of them.
Oh, there's a bronze medal. Yeah, bronze.
Well, I know, but there's not a third-place game in a 100-meter dash. You don't have a runoff with the third and fourth place runners.
Basketball.
I'm saying not in every sport.
That's how we got it in 04, baby.
It's all team sports.
Okay, thank you. Not in every sport of the Olympics. We don't have it. We don't have a runoff for third place.
Soccer's not a solo sport.
I'm not saying that it is. I think the concept of it is ridiculously
dumb. Clown talk.
I don't know what
are you guys both excited to watch the game this weekend? You thrilled for a third place game? Can't wait to sit down and watch it? Go ahead, Swag.
I'll be on a boat out in Hood Canal.
So it's a big deal. We got to have a third place game, huh?
When he's cornered by both of us.
I just said we don't have a third place in every game. It's like in every sport. And you jackass are like, well, yeah, you do. No, you don't.
In team sports, you do.
In team sports, you do. And I don't ever watch them nor care.
Well, I might be golfing.
I don't care about my country winning in third place.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this.
What do I get out of that? Do you get a bronze medal in the World Cup?
We're pumped, right?
Yes, because we've never done it before.
In this, yeah.
Sure, if we're in this spot, but I'm probably not watching.
Even if we were involved, if we're playing France for third, you wouldn't be like...
I don't care. It's third place.
But it's the furthest we would have ever
Ricky
finished.
Bobby.
I don't know.
I don't care.
Well, that's interesting.
I don't care. It does nothing for me.
It does nothing for
nothing
you.
Nothing at all.
Okay.
Do we want the Eastern Conference Final and Western Conference Final losers to play for third place in a 7-game series? Would you watch that?
I actually think I would.
I wouldn't because it's ridiculous.
Little 3-game series on the off days of the finals? Yeah, I'd be curious.
What are we doing here?
The Thunder would sweep?
The World Cup is in America right now.
Yeah.
Let's be Americans for a moment. Who's going to win? Sure, I'll turn it on Sunday and watch that.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere near a third place game.
Well, we
Saturday.
Don't celebrate third place.
No,
in
because we're a proper country.
Or team sport things anyway.
This will probably hit the DVR and
you're not.
And,
no,
you're not DVRing
it.
This.
Who
finished in third place in the last World Cup?
Well, still on the DVR.
Haven't got back and watched it yet. We'll get to that after Game 7 of the World Series.
I'm thinking about...
We have no idea, because nobody cares. And I'm right. Now we can move on to the championship game if you two will stop being jackasses.
We were okay in our position. You adding, it'll be on the DVR. You're not going to go
back. No, I say that because I'm with Super Soccer Bros this weekend with my friends. And they are likely to record it. And after we get back from playing around in Hood Canal...
So you're playing?
Do the Timbers play this weekend?
No.
Okay.
You're playing a round of golf, and then you're going to go home and watch soccer? You doing anything with your family? Just having a weekend for swag. I like
it. It's boys' weekend. I'm taking off.
Yeah, like if Oregon, somebody bring this up, Oregon and Ole Miss playing in a third place game last year.
We'd watch.
We'd watch
you
that.
You can't use football as an example.
I mean, sure,
watch
we would
anything,
watch.
Dude.
But when am I going to brag about winning third place?
I would contemplate.
Yeah, we did it.
You stuffed it down Lane Kiffin's throat? Of
Lane
course
Kiffin
you
Lane Kiffin wasn't
would.
Coaching the game. He left his team. Hmm. Beating Pete Golding? You would openly make fun of me for bragging about winning third place.
I would contemplate punching you right in the face if I could watch Cardinals and Titans right now. So don't test me with what
football is
I've
a bad
watched.
Cop. My point being, that's not something that I would brag about. That's
sure.
not something that you're proud. Like you were in it to win it. You didn't win it. Your season is over.
Would you have watched two teams like who was? Oh, Grizzlies Bulls. Would you have watched a Grizzlies Bulls game if it meant the third pick was on the line?
For draft capital, yes, because that means something.
Yeah, it does.
You can. There's an actual reward out of it.
Caleb Wilson, real good.
Okay. Now, in a long roundabout way, are we excited for Spain versus Argentina?
For the start, that I think that game is all about who scores first. If Spain scores first, I might as well turn it off.
I don't get anything out of the winner of this game, so no, I'm not excited. I will watch it, though.
It will be on my television.
Yeah, will I be like closely watching the way I did when it was England and Argentina? No. Belgium, USA? No. It will be on, though, and I will see what's going on. Probably miss one of the two goals, come back, watch the replay, go, that was pretty amazing, and he's still yelling, goal.
Yes.
Can I add a World Cup thought before
he said I was at the stadium in 1994 for the third, fourth place game and nobody cared.
Well, can I ask you a World Cup USA question?
Yeah, fire away.
Because we don't have many of these left for the next 4 years.
No, we don't.
I will not care about the CONCACAF or the friendlies.
Empty your chamber right now. World Cup talk ends on Monday.
So I watch, I don't know if I said this on the air. This is one of those like off-air, on-air things. I can't remember. So the Norway thing happened. They celebrated Norway coming back, and we've got the stuffed raccoon holding a liquor bottle. It's great,
did you see
right?
what he was doing on social media the other day? He is like literally we need to recruit him to be an American.
He's great.
He was hitting golf balls off of a boat in Norway listening to Ella Langley, who is a country singer.
I love him.
Singing
Erling,
along to
Erling Haaland's
leaving
my guy.
Texas.
Okay. They all as a country were celebrating being in the top eight.
Yes. First time they've ever done that.
I know we've been in the top 16. It wasn't great how we got eliminated.
Uh-oh,
but if you're
going
to have a conversation about making America better in soccer.
Are you a peacock right now?
And improving.
Are you a socialist?
I wonder if we should have held something somewhere. I mean, if you want to make people care,
as we've always gone.
I mean, yeah, like, why don't we celebrate that?
We did it again, and we got embarrassed.
I'm just saying, like, these countries are celebrating their teams being top eight. Is there really a big difference here? And they were all rowing.
It's one more win, actually, yeah.
Ooh. You had one more win than Texas Tech in football. Did you feel good about that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, touche in my face. I didn't see this being the most contentious segment of the day, but here we are.
Well, it started with us
hot and bothered.
Putting you in a corner.
Aiden saying, Swag, I think Sunday's going to come down to who has more goals at the end of the game. It is a must-win game.
I understand that. The way both teams play.
I don't think France cares.
Did we dominate this World Cup segment or what? I am so excited for this to be over.
If Spain gets the first goal,
soccer, I can't wait.
It's going to be a horrible watch.
We don't have to talk about this anymore.
It's timber time.
Well, then that's fine. That's at least local. I might go to a couple timber games.
They made Seattle their bitch yesterday. That was great.
Suck at Seattle. We can all unify on that front.
Before you steal our NBA team, let me tell you what happens in soccer.
I just got to be honest with you. Got to be honest with you, Trustree. I'm going to watch. It's the World Cup final.
It's okay for you to say you don't care.
I don't care.
I'm not going to judge you.
Argentina just won. Spain is always here. They're boring as hell to watch.
Spain's not always here. It's only the second time they've ever made a World Cup final. They won the other one.
How many times have they been in the Final Four, Swag?
Not as many as other teams.
Okay, so Spain sucks at soccer?
They're good, but they haven't done this.
Who was the betting favorite coming into the tournament?
France.
Who was the second favorite?
Spain.
Okay, so.
Okay.
Got it. What's that, Sprague?
When they tied Cape Verde, they were technically the favorite in the whole World
Okay,
Cup.
So they were the favorite. Got it. Okay.
They
won.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch. It'll be on my TV.
More likely to be watched on the DVR Game 7 of the World Series.
I think he's going to the Cavs. Sorry. I think he's going.
Sorry, trigger finger. Sorry. Sorry. That was fat finger. My bad.
That's I thought you only had.
That was Bryce Harper.
Fat little legs.
I do have fat little legs. I have tiny legs and I'm fat.
Is Swag going to see the DVR Game 7 and go, you know what? I don't care about that third place game. They're right. I'm going to watch my team win the World Series for the first time. It's going to be on the DVR. Come on, man. Do you know how many DVR things I have? I'm not sniffing my DVR.
Good stuff.
What was the last thing you DVR'd and watched from start to finish?
Not from start to...
It's been football season
Oregon,
for me.
Yeah, an Oregon football game. Driving home or I miss a chunk of the game.
It's one of the Stanley Cup finals games I had a hops game.
Yeah.
Man, you DVR'd and watched the Stanley Cup, but not the World Series Game 7. Thought I knew you.
The World Cup comes to an end on Sunday.
Brought to you by... Disappointment from America.
I'm ready for this to be over. Close it up next on The Fam.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, there you go. Fist pumping your way into the weekend every single Friday. Last one for us this week. Let me take an old gander, see if there's anything in my notes left for next week that we can tease.
Oh, we'll probably go to Raleigh next week. We got the term sheet released to the city, or basically from the Portland side, and sent over to the team. So I want to go to Raleigh. I know we've talked a little bit about the past, and they were going through an arena thing. I want to know if he made them in Raleigh feel the exact same way. Like, he financially invested in it. He's not vowing to do that here. Everybody's losing their minds over this. I want to know if there were how many points at Raleigh where they're like, dude, he's going to take the team. He's moving.
It's gone.
And he has vowed multiple times. Everybody's like, why come he's not talking? He's already said two or three times at different points, everybody has this fear.
Everybody said the same thing in Raleigh, and then it didn't end up. So we got a deal done. And
I don't know, man. It's the usual people drumming it up. And I can acknowledge the city is getting in its own way. Now, yesterday I thought was a good step for them and a smart move. You got two representatives coming out today saying we need to challenge. And I'm just like, okay, you can shut up.
But, yeah, I mean, we'll stuff them back in a locker where they belong. But I would say... that's the really difficult part about all this. We'll see what the Blazers, if we get a response from the Blazers this weekend, that's a big deal, right?
Like, to see, I don't know if we will, man.
And I don't think we will either, but I'm just saying that's a great moving of the football forward, which is exactly what we're looking for in this point.
Yep.
I think that's the difficult part about all this for fans as we look at the way it's been reported and framed. There's obviously the potential the team could move. The city could say no to the funding. Maybe they say yes to the funding and Tom Dundon really is some... you know, Cruella DeVille villain. It's like, nope, that's not enough money for me. Never mind. I'm taking the team either way. And Adam Silver doesn't give a rip. Like, obviously, that whatever percentage of possibility exists out there. Mm-hmm. And then you have that against the framework of he bought the team with the plan to move it, and he's been actively calling other cities to try and move the team in the meantime, which is just not true. And so there's this weird back and forth of reporting of, like, he was always going to do it, or there's the threat that he could do it, which, of course, the threat exists. But the idea that he bought the team with the sole purpose to move him is just not factually correct. And so he's a shrewd negotiator. I'm curious to see if we get any more updates. I did see, as you mentioned, the council members come out against this own proposal that they sent over to the team. I think you're in the minority, folks. I don't think you're going to have a lot of help right there. Can I throw a random number at you? I do want to get to the poll questions, by the way.
Sure.
Because we got a lot of them up today. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the new Toy Story movie?
We've posted a lot of poll questions.
I think so.
No, I have not.
You have not seen the new Toy... Now, is it because you didn't like the last one?
Oh,
or you just haven't had time?
I my utter refusal of them continuing this, and it's all for money. It's don't let them tell you it's for storytelling.
That's a great spin to what I'm about to tell you.
It was a great trilogy.
Perfect.
Ended
ending.
Perfectly from somebody who started that journey as a child and then watched the third one as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a sweet spot of a movie series. The fourth one was an abject disaster that made no sense and introduced me to a plastic spork. No, thank you. I will probably eventually watch the fifth.
Stumble upon it.
Say, oh, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I will end with the opinion of, you should have never made one past three. It was a perfect ending to a trilogy.
Talking about the money grab that it is, this came out from Variety a couple of days ago. I've just had it holstered in my notes. The Toy Story franchise, which is now five movies large, right? Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, has generated $51 billion in economic activity.
Yeah.
$51 $51 billion. That's the movie sales, the resales, the toy merch, the merch, the partnership. $51 billion.
It's an economy.
Dude,
why they keep making them.
That's why you keep
printing money, man. They're gonna make a sixth. Tom Hanks and Tim Allen will be dead.
Yes. They're gonna AI their voices.
Well, they'll AI
and
they'll AI Tim Allen. Tom Hanks will not sign off on being AI'd, so it'll be a weird mix of Buzz and Woody. In like 20 years.
Yes.
Like, there's Tim Allen's voice, and there's a makeshift Woody.
Can we take these toys to a trillion? We'll see if we can get there. Two other quick things in the notes before we get to the poll questions of the day. I did see we played the Chuck Schumer investigation. Was it or was it not a fart?
It was a fart.
Shout out to TMZ, who hollered at him as he got into his vehicle to drive away from the Capitol yesterday, asking about the fart. He was silent, which means it was a fart.
Which the fart wasn't. He wished it was silent.
It was not an SBD.
Yeah.
It was very loud. And last but not least, our buddy Ryan Clark had this one yesterday, that Oregon has had multiple players sign endorsement deals with.
I saw that.
You guessed it.
Adidas?
Yes. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
With Nike, Dante Moore was one of them. I did have the thought as an Oregon fan of like, why is anybody else getting this deal? That's ridiculous. It should be only Oregon football players. But it is not. The Oregon players who got an endorsement deal with Nike are obviously Dante Moore, who is back. Jordan Davison, makes sense. DeCorian Moore, totally get it. Brandon Finney, great rookie year. Rookie year, freshman season.
I mean, we can start calling them pros. They're rookie year.
That's true.
Great rookie year.
And the last one made me chuckle the most. Jet Washington. Now, do you remember who Jet Washington is?
He was the guy that claimed he was getting a shoe, right?
That is not Jet Washington.
Okay.
That was another one of their Naeem Offord from last year.
Gotcha.
Jet Washington is the nephew of Kobe Bryant. And he is not played.
What if we got a hybrid Oregon Kobe cleat?
I'd be all for it. I'd buy it.
That thing would sell the F out, dude.
Like absolute hotcakes. Mm. So that was not surprising if you know the backstory there, because that was a part of the recruitment, I think, the relationship with Nike.
Dude, that's actually a big bummer. Remember that cool season? The NBA was in the lockout, so we had LeBron, Chris Paul.
Yes, at the Oregon-USC game that they lost because Maldonado missed the kick. I was there.
We could have had Kobe at a football game. Dude.
We could have. He would have been supporting Jet. I don't know how close. I don't know what the full relationship
it's a
is. But I didn't know if he was close with the sibling. I'm assuming he is, but I don't know.
Though I haven't. Yeah, I have nieces.
Because you're not close with all of them, right?
No.
If you've got a wide enough family. So some of them you're very close with, other ones you're maybe not.
I don't even know if all of them know my name. That's kind of sad to say out loud, but it's true.
Yeah, so, you know, but he's Kobe's nephew, so I saw that. That's the last of the emptying of my notebook. Let's get to, and whichever one you want to be can be your poll question of the day, because Neighborhood Restaurant Group brings you the fan poll question on X every day, dinner tonight at one of their five locations, Sandio's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, Lowerhurst Market Steakhouse. Mm. Vegas over-under for the Blazers right now, 43.5. You're taking the over, the under, 65.6% of you taking the over.
Yep.
If you had to move to a state, only these two choices were available, where would you move? Tennessee, 63.9%. Alaska, 36.1%. That's higher than I gave it credit for.
I would go Tennessee all day.
Do you change your opinion on a college football coach if they reach the national title game? 68.9, rounded up, 69% of you. I say yes. Mm. And how many times a year do you wash your car? 48.6% of you say 6+ times a year. There you go. There's your poll questions. That will do it for us, folks. Thanks for being a part of our Friday. If you missed it, we had Phil Steele on today with a college football preview. He told us something about Jamarcus Shepherd that's going to make him stand out, and I'm sure linger throughout the course of the football season. So go check that interview out, 1051thefan.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will talk to you Monday at 6 a.m. The Firm, Harrison Marang, is next. Listen to 1051 FM, The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.